This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, look, let's get some votes coming in on the Carson Anderson Mach 1.0. If you are unfamiliar with how we do this, it's same we've done in the past. We just haven't had to do it. I mean, we used to start in January, but we had playoff football to talk about and other things going on. And so, once again, the Carson Anderson show proves its malleability, and we have adapted to the circumstance, and 1.0 is now 2 weeks from the draft. Here are the names that have been embargoed. All the quarterbacks, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Jalen Walker, Mike Green, those three edge rushers, the defensive tackle, Mason Graham. Other obvious choices, Ashton Jeanty, Will Campbell, the offensive lineman, Tyler Warren, the tight end, Will Johnson, the corner, and others. Here's who is left, and this is the field of players that we have taken votes for or have allowed for votes. Donovan Ezeraku, these are all edge rushers. Donovan Ezeraku, Mikel Williams, James Pierce, Nick Scorton, and Shamar Stewart. The defensive tackles, Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, Walter Nolan. The two interior offensive linemen, Gray Zabel and Tyler Booker, Donovan Jackson. Somebody voted for JT Tuumoolau, so we got to vote in for him. Safety, Nick Amenware, who is the freakish athlete out of South Carolina. The two tight ends, Gunnar Helm and Terrence Ferguson. The wide receivers, Emeka Ibuka and Luther Burden. We're also, like, another example of an embargo player is Colston Loveland. So, who do you want out of all those names that we gave you there that weren't embargoed? Who makes the most sense to you? Scott, you went with Derek Harmon, defensive tackle from Oregon.
I did. I love Derek Harmon. He's great against the run, and he's excellent as a pass rusher. Gets a lot of pressure from his middle position as a defensive tackle, so he never has to come off the field. And it's a player we saw certainly in Michigan State, but seeing him at Oregon – playing against better competition because he played later into the season in the playoffs and stuff like that. You get to see how good he really is. And boy, did Michigan State miss him. He's an excellent all-around player. I like Kenneth Grant a lot. There was the other defensive tackle that I liked also, but there's starting to be some questions about him. I'm drawing a blank on what his name is, the other defensive tackle.
Walter Nolan.
Walter Nolan. There's some questions about him off the field that are starting to come up as well. But Derek Harmon to me is, he just fits the bill. 6'4", 313 pounds. I don't care about 40 times for defensive tackles, but he was a sub-5 guy in the 40. Strong as hell. And again, never going to have to come off the field if you don't want him to. You're just fine with him out there. I like Derek Harmon a lot. I don't think he'll be there, but for our non-embargo purposes, he's available, and I'll take him.
Okay, so you know me. I like to live on the edge. I take chances
yes,
all the time.
Yes, that's you. That's you. You're very, very aggressive.
Risque.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going James Pierce out of Tennessee.
Which actually is not like Doug Carson.
No, it's not. I think it's time for them, though, to get a top 10 edge talent at 28. The reason he would still be on the board is the, you know, questions about whether or not the motor is always turned on and whether or not he truly loves football, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. They now have a culture that I'm going to bet on. And we've talked about this a lot, about whether or not you can introduce somebody that needs your culture more than you need them. And it, for James Pierce, this could be perfect for him to realize his potential is to come into a great locker room. It's not like the Lions to do this, admittedly. But I just think the talent is too much. If I told you you could get Abdul Carter at 28, you'd take him. Yeah. Obviously, Abdul, but I think this guy would be in the top 10 if there weren't questions about his commitment. The most amazing stat for me is he played just over 35 snaps a game the last 2 years and led the Southeastern Conference in pressures the last 2 years. And he's not playing full time.
No, there's a lot to like with him. And then there's
a lot
the question.
To scare you too.
There's the stuff off the field that might scare you about him. But I mean, he's got great size, 6'5", 245, might be on the lighter side, but that should mean he's quicker than everybody else. And he's got a sub 4.5 40 time as well. He's very athletic, and there is a lot to like with him. And I wouldn't be terribly upset if they made the selection there.
Kang, what about you?
Yeah, my pick is a defensive end from Texas A&M, Shamar Stewart. And he's a guy you don't have to question work ethic. From all accounts, he's got a high motor, plays up and down that line, willing to move wherever the team needs him. He has a perfect RAS score, which I know the Lions love. Jack Campbell is an example of that. Explosive off, you know, his numbers are explosive. He's a big, big defensive end. So that's why he can move inside when need be. The only issue with him is the productivity was not there in college as far as sack numbers. But he did have a higher pressure rate every single year. And the thing I think the Lions coaching staff could do for him is that untapped potential to translate those pressures into more sacks. I just think he's the guy that they would consider moving up to get. Like, if he starts getting around that... In our formula here, he's available, so I'm taking him at 28. But I think he goes in like 20 area, and I think the Lions start eyeing a move up to get him. I think that's how much of a Lions player Shamar Stewart is.
He's such an interesting prospect. You know, you mentioned his size. He's 6'5", 267 pounds, runs a sub 4.6 40. And he's got all those things, all the measurables, right? But when your one knock is your lack of production... It's a big knock, and I can't ignore that. I understand where your head's at, and you have to. This is one where you need to do a serious deep dive, bring him in for the interviews. What I'd love to know what the coaching staff sees of him on tape, because the production of 1.5 sacks each of the last 3 years is nothing. But as Kang said, his pressure rate got better each year. But okay, what does it look like really though in comparison to other edge rushers when it comes to their tape? I mean, playing as a similar schedule, he's an SEC schedule. So how does that compare with James Pierce, SEC schedule? How does that compare with Landon Jackson, SEC schedule, or the two guys from Georgia? You know, there's a lot to look at, a lot to digest. And if you're going to take a chance on somebody who just has the high RAS score but no production,
well,
you got to know what you're getting into.
Low production in sacks, but he's a great run stopper. And I think the Lions want guys that can stop the run as well. We all focus
without
in on the
question,
sack
yeah.
numbers as because that's a big flashy number. But I think he can get better with the sack numbers, but he's already got the run stopping ability, you know? I'm just really high on this guy, and I think that I fall in love with physical attributes, admittedly. I think Gator, you fall in love with stats with college. I think, you know, they can still be good pro players without physical attributes or high stats in college.
248-539-9797. You tell us who you love in this draft and would love at 28. We tally up these votes, and today at the end of the show, we'll tell you who the people's choice is in Mach 1.0. Okay, it got a lot of attention yesterday, and it's funny because when you do this as long as we have, and we have done it for some time here, you go, and we've already done that topic. Sometimes they're easy to recycle, but... yesterday, much was made of the fact that Tiger starting pitcher Jack Flaherty and Yankee starting pitcher Max Fried were high school teammates. Harvard Westlake Prep School in Los Angeles. Here's a spin on something that we've kind of done before, but it's brand new all at the same time. That's an elite pair of pitchers on the same high school team, yeah. And Lucas Giolito was hunted as well. But for the purposes of this conversation, these two high school teammates pitched against one another in the major leagues, which meant out in LA, a bunch of regular Joe high school kids were facing future major league pitchers. Like, where the starter in game one was Max Fried and the starter in game two was Jack Flaherty. Good luck, Ron. You know these kids try to take on these major league pitchers. Did you ever in your career have to face one team with two guys that were elite.
Yeah, we've done the shows before where it's been, I faced this guy in college or this guy in high school.
Yeah.
But have you ever had to face two of them?
Yep. Did you come, you're on the basketball court and you're like, yeah, both of them played high Division I college. Or, yeah, I was a pitcher and I had to face A and B on the same high school team. Whatever it is, hockey, travel hockey. I bet the travel hockey AAA crowd, I bet you guys had to play teams probably, where you're like, yeah, later, oh my God, they're both in the NHL. 248-539-9797. Did you ever have to face two guys like Harvard Prep had in LA with Flaherty and Fried, who faced one another at the major league level yesterday? 248-539-9797. Your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. There was a name that I'm going to put back on the list here for Carson Anderson Mach 1.0 that I'm going to suspect that nobody's going to vote for. And I'm going to suspect that people haven't given much thought to. But one of the things that happens, and I do this a lot with small school guys, is what do you do when you play the big boys? Like when you get that big game and you because you go to a small school, invariably you're going to end up with a road trip to Auburn, you know, that kind of thing. And so yes. I'm always curious as to how guys stood out in that game. And I think that's how Mike Green from Marshall got on the radar. The other thing is, what do you do in the big matchups? And there's one player that had a dominant game in a big matchup, and it could make sense for Detroit. And I'm just haven't brought the name up. We've talked about it. We've mentioned his name. I think it's one to keep an eye on that could end up here. And that player is Ariante Urseray, the tackle from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, you know, their next sort of, hey, we're going to start to rebuild the offensive line now. He had a great game against Abdul Carter. A great game. And Abdul Carter is widely regarded as one of the top one, two, three picks in this draft. And Urseray, I don't want to call it dominant, but I think in some people's eyes it was.
He gets a second round grade from The Athletic. He's their fifth rated offensive tackle, 6'6", 330. But to your point, that's what you look at, right? Those are the things I want to see. How did you, he's in a Big Ten. Well, did he play against the big guys in the Big Ten? When you've got the best defensive player available in the draft and Abdul Carter, arguably, how did he do against Abdul Carter? You saw it. You said you thought he played really well against him. This is why those practices at the Senior Bowl and stuff like that matter.
Yep.
Because you're getting to see those reps, those, hey, let's do a pass protection rep, or as the defensive side would say, pass rush rep. How did that guy do against that guy? Did iron sharpen iron? Who came out on top? Which is another reason why Mike Green kind of showed up on people's radars, because he did really well in that situation. There's other guys that did really well in that situation too, that went to smaller schools. So it's something to look out for, without a doubt.
So we talked about how yesterday the Tigers had, you know, starting pitcher Jack Flaherty, the Yankees had Max Fried. They were high school teammates. Did you ever have to play a game at any level where you were up against two guys that made it big? Not just one.
Right.
They had a pair of future stars or pros or college stars. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Dan in Ann Arbor. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Scott. What's up, guys?
Hey, we're good.
So I played, you know, so they were on my team, but I was a little bit older. So when they were by their senior year, it was Jerry Macklin, you know, had a long career in the NFL. But he played opposite a guy, Mike McNeil, who was a tight end in Nebraska. And those guys had a Division I quarterback, too. And they would put 80 points on a team, you know, by the third quarter. They were incredible. Jeremy, he was, you know, Division I NFL receiver speed, even as a freshman in high school. It looks so different than anything you've ever seen in your life. It's incredible. They were amazing together.
I've always thought how unfair it would be. Like, I remember I had a roommate of mine he brought this up to me actually years ago. And he said, how unfair would it be if you're a high school player and you're going against Emmitt Smith. Like, that's who you have to stop. Right. You have to stop Emmitt Smith. Like, it's not going to happen.
So, Dan, what position did you play?
Middle linebacker. It would be, like, in a blink of an eye, you wouldn't know where they would be. Like, that would be it. Like, if he was returning a punt, which he did a lot, it would be, like, in the instant, he'd be gone.
It's so funny. I experienced that once on the field of play where I played against somebody who was a big-time athlete, and that was my impression was, where did
like
he just go?
Air, like you,
where,
like a
where, you were just right in front of me. Where did you go? It's almost like he could move faster than my brain could process that he moved.
Right.
And it
was that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised it was Jeremy Maclin. Who was the tight end you said from Nebraska?
Mike McNeil. He played for the Colts. I mean, it was, you know, brief NFL career, but he played in Nebraska. Had a decent,
career
in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And Mike McHugh, I think, played with him a little bit. He was a wide receiver at Northwestern. I mean, those guys, there was a couple of years there. A lot of it because of Jeremy was there. Guys wanted to play with him, and so they had a great couple of years.
How did Dan play in that game? How did you do in that game?
I was a scout team captain. Basically, it was me. But I was not a star amongst those guys. I was 5'8".
So. Yeah, well,
I mean, there have to be. There's a lot of these stories out there. You think of some of those Farmington Harrison football teams that had all types of talent on those teams. Brother Rice teams that had all types of talent on those teams.
I ended up on a basketball game. The story for me, the guy where I was like, as he said, gone in an instant. I'm playing pickup basketball at the CCRB in Ann Arbor, and David Bowens was playing on the other team. You remember David Bowens, outside linebacker, Mary's? Edge?
Was he from St. Mary's?
I think he was Orchard Lake St. Mary's, I made a pass. I got a rebound, a couple dribbles up the left sideline. He was on the right sideline, running down the court, going back on defense. And I made a pass towards midcourt on the left sideline. David Bowens, in that time, somehow sprinted all the way across the court, intercepted the pass, and in one motion flew past me the other direction. And by the time he was going up for the layup, it finally hit me. We no longer have the possession of the basketball. It was so fast.
Well, we're looking for people to play against two guys.
Two guys, yes, two guys. You're right. Tony is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, I went to, I played basketball at Divine Child High School, and we had a pretty good hoops team back in the 90s, and we went pretty deep in the state tournament. Ran into a buzzsaw with Detroit Country Day. That was back in Chris Weber's heyday. And that team was just stacked. I remember, specifically, probably their two best players were Yoppo Montgomery and Chris Weber. Obviously, Weber went to Michigan, and Yoppo Montgomery ended up playing at U of D. But most of their starting five went on to play college basketball. They had another guy, I think his name was Kevin Colson. He played at Florida A&M. But the team was just unbelievable. They were just probably the greatest high school threat that you would ever see on the court. At least at that time, I'd never seen anything like it. In basketball in the 90s in Michigan, high school basketball was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're doing this because yesterday the two high school teammates faced each other. Did you ever have to face two guys that made it big? You have to face them on the same team. 248-539-9797. Unnamed texter, went against the number one and number two swimmers in Michigan in high school, both on our crosstown rival. They smashed 7 pool records out of a possible 12.
Was it the Anderson brothers?
Wouldn't have been one of them.
Yeah. Scott and Dave?
I went to meets like that when at my high school, Andover High School, when we went to Pioneer and took on Pioneer. I mean, we were the two best teams in the state, and you would have every race was worth watching.
Yeah.
If you were a swimming fan. If you're not, then you don't really give a rip. But for swimming purposes, it was an amazing meet with a bunch of guys that ended up swimming at Division I schools.
The high school I went to, this is from an unnamed texter. The high school I went to, we had to play William Golston and Jonathan Hankins.
That's fair.
Detroit Southeastern in the first round of the playoffs. We had Jeremy Langford on our team. So we played in John Glenn. Wow.
We got a few of those texts, actually.
Langford was great.
Well, so were Hankins and Ghost.
No, I know. Yeah, they're all really great.
You guys ever watch the 30 for 30 Rand University?
Yes.
Dude, Randy Moss and Jason Williams on the same basketball team?
Was that?
No, that wasn't Rand University. That was...
Was that?
It was the one... I'm talking about the one with Randy Moss and Jason Williams, though.
Were they on the same high school team?
Yeah.
They were, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, same high school basketball team. I forgot what for 30 was called. I thought it was Rand, but...
It might be Rand University. It was DuPont High School in West Virginia. Anyway, Al...
Where he started getting in trouble.
Al is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Al.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Al.
My story is, wasn't in high school. It was playing Sandlot baseball in Detroit.
All right.
And had to play against John Mayberry, Ted Simmons... and Marvin Lane.
I knew two of the three.
One team.
Who's the last one?
Marvin Lane. He played for the Tigers for a little bit.
Did he really?
Ted Simmons is a legend. He's got Ted Simmons Field out there and played with the Cardinals and Brewers, among other teams. And Mayberry was with Kansas City, right?
Yeah. And I held Simmons to a single, got Marvin Lane out, and Ted Mayberry hit the ball. We're playing at Mansfield. Hit the ball into Connor for a home run.
That's tough to go against, man.
And I'm assuming that means it was a prodigious shot if he hit it all the way to Connor.
Yeah, it was probably 380, maybe farther.
Well, there you go.
It's a good shot.
Out of the ballpark.
So
back,
you
back in the day when it was nothing but wood bats.
Three dudes. 248-539-9797. We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback coming up. Also, Gator did something very uncharacteristic, and we need to talk about it. We will do so today at 12:40 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, it's Doug Carson. Check out the spring savings at Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Lease a new 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $289 a month for 36 months with $1,999 down. $289. Go now to 17.5 and Van Dyke in Sterling Heights, 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive with GM employee discount and lease in the household, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Offer ends at the end of the month. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so NBA Communications just tweeted out the following. If the Knicks beat the Pistons tonight, Detroit's locked into the sixth seed with a Milwaukee win. If Detroit defeats New York tonight, New York is locked into the third seed with an Indiana loss. Indiana is locked into the fourth seed with a loss and a Milwaukee loss. So those are some of the scenarios on the line tonight. Detroit is most likely playing the New York Knicks. Tickets go on sale Sunday. Do you see this as a must-attend event? This is the first time in maybe 17 years that it feels like the Pistons have a chance to make a series of something as opposed to being first-round fodder. They're not a championship contender, but it's been a long time. Will there be the buzz in the air? Well, people want this ticket as much as they wanted Red Wing tickets, playoff tickets back in the day, Lions tickets the last couple of years in the postseason. Seems like it probably won't be that kind of fever pitch, but I bet a bunch of you out there want to go. 248-539-9797. If it feels like a must-attend event for you, again, tickets go on sale Sunday morning. Go to the Pistons website or Ticketmaster for those purchases. In the meantime, we're still getting people sending in their perfect pick for the Detroit Lions. We've been asking you who is the draft pick that you want the most. Let's get to a few more of those votes. From Joe in Chesterfield, my vote goes to Donovan Azaraku. Got to get some help opposite of Hutch.
Like him a lot, an awful lot. And I think that's a likely pick for the Lions because I think a lot of these other guys are going to be off the board.
Sauce and Howe says, take James Pierce Jr., then immediately have him rep against Penei Sewell. That might set him straight. How many touchdowns did Laporta score at Iowa? Holmes will overlook production and stats for overall talent, and Stewart would be an awesome fit and pick in round one. That's from Nate in Novi.
I don't think there's any question that they look at that stuff, and they should. Everybody does. I look at that stuff, too. It's just it's remarkable how little production Stewart had in 3 years.
Yep.
1.5 sacks each of the last 3 years.
248-539-9797. We also talked about that story yesterday during the Tiger game. Max Fried and Jack Flaherty, high school teammates, which means little Ronnie had to go up against two future major league pitchers at some point in his high school career. What about you? Did you ever have to face not one, but two guys that turned out to be elites of the elites, played Division I college sports, made it in that, you know, made it that far, made it all the way to the pros, where you had two of them you had to go against in one game in any sport? Let's go to Tim and Grand Blanc. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. Happy spring to you today.
Yeah.
So we'll take you back to the mid-'80s, which I believe might have been the greatest high school basketball team. I had to face Flint Northwestern when they had Glenn Rice, Jeff Greer, and Andre Rison on the court all at the same time.
I feel like there was somebody else on that team. Wasn't there four guys?
Anthony Pendleton.
Yep.
A-Pen, yep. From what I understand. It was kind of unique because towards the end of the game, we instead of playing defense, I kind of turned into a spectator watching them to throw dunks off the glass to one another actually during the game. So it was quite entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah. Do you remember the score of that game?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I think it was like 105, obviously, for them. And I think if we were in the 60s, that's probably being boastful. So it was obviously a lopsided thing. But, you know, coming from mostly a white school, going against a semi-pro team, I think it was at least respectable score when it finalized.
Well, congratulations.
Well, also that same time, again, we turned out a lot of hoop players. We played Flint Beecher when they had Roy Marble and Hawkins on the same team as well.
Courtney Hawkins?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a formidable duo. Dude, I worked in Flint, one of my first jobs in the media in the mid-'90s, and those teams still echoed, and there were some pretty great teams.
Yeah.
Flint Northern team with Mateen Cleaves and the Smith brothers, Antonio and Robert. They had a shooter named Deontay Harvey. Saginaw BV had like all kinds of D1 guys. Well, Macon was before them. This was Terrence Roberson, Shedrick Morrell, who went on. Roberson played at Fresno, played at UNLV, I think, and then Fresno. Shedrick Morrell played at Nebraska. I mean, we're talking about D1 talent on the court. When they played each other, it was.
That's why it's special.
Yeah,
I mean, when you see that there's more than one guy, I mean, in basketball, particularly if you've got two studs in basketball, you're going to control things. And in baseball, this is why we bring it up, because of the pitching matchup yesterday. To think that there was a high school out there that had Jack Flaherty and Max Fried and who was the third?
Lucas Giolito
also on the same team.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Harvard Westlake was the high school in the LA area.
Yeah, that's where Bryce Reiner went.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. They churn out some baseball players out there, huh? Yeah. 2-4. Is it? It's a prep school. Does that mean so they can recruit, if you will?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because my best friend lives out there in Westlake.
Yeah.
And there are a couple high schools out there, but the Harvard one is the big one.
Yes. Well, there you go. 248-539-9797. All right. We got some Tiger stuff we'll get to a little bit later on. Additionally, a Masters going on. We've asked people, what is their favorite non-Big Four sporting event? Robin Canton says the best non-Big Four sporting event is definitely the Indy 500. There was a time that I think it was for me, too. It's not anymore, but it was.
And as a kid, I used to watch it every year, look forward to it. And then at some point, I stopped. Probably mid-'80s, I stopped watching.
How is it possible that Gator likes the Masters but hates the Open, LOL? We're not sure.
It's the course. The Open course, the British Open course, changes every year. And they're always cool to see. But it feels like every time I watch the British Open, the video feed is always kind of crappy because it's like the satellite thing. It's shaky. The weather sucks every time. You know, you've got trains to worry about. There's a random dog that runs out on the course. And
you could fall in the creek.
Yeah.
That old bridge may collapse at any time.
I mean, parts of it I really enjoy watching. It. And I do. I don't. It's not like I boycott watching it. It's the pretentiousness of it's the Open. It's been the British Open forever. And now you want to get all pretentious about it and call it the Open. But whatever. It's fine. I just love the course of Augusta. There isn't anything that looks more beautiful. than Augusta when it's all primed and ready to go for
well,
the Masters.
Nick from Port Huron says, was at Augusta Tuesday, saw Annika Sorenstam and Condoleezza Rice walking the course. Wildest thing was a Japanese guy in front of me dropped $132,000 on merch.
Wow.
Rumor How is the pro that? Shop rings up $1 million an hour.
I can see it because once you get there, you're going to want to buy a shirt, a golf shirt, or a hat at least, right? Yeah. Those and they gouge you on that stuff. So that might be $100 a shirt at least, and who knows what a hat, $50. You'd get a hat if you went.
I'd probably get a hat, yeah. All right, so Gator caught us completely off guard earlier this week when he bought two boxes of this. We were like, what? What do you think it was that Gator bought two boxes of? Gator surprised us, bought two boxes of this. What do you think Gator bought two boxes of? 10 texts, 248-539-9797. What do you think it was? Make sure you sign your text. We'll read your text coming up, and we'll reveal what he bought and ask, more importantly, why. Two boxes. Huh. Get your text in, sign your text.
I'm asking myself the same question.
97-1 the ticket.
Hey, I got some good news. I think that we've officially moved on from winter. I hope that's the case. But look, the red, white, blue trucks that are everywhere that belong to the great folks over at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, the expert technicians out there. So if you've got problems with your furnace, they can help fix that. You've got problems with a busted water pipe, they can help fix that. More importantly, as we get ready for the warmer weather coming around the corner, they can help you make sure that your AC unit is ready to go. These are HVAC and plumbing experts. Don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau or some of the 5-star reviews they have on Google. So whether it's your furnace or water heater or boiler or water filtration, schedule an appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97-1 the ticket. All right, we asked for 10 tags. When Gator surprised us and bought two boxes of this, and we were like, huh, we haven't really talked about this on the air, so we asked people to guess what Gator bought two boxes of. I'm going to read these, and then we'll tell you. The 10 texts that came in. Dallas in Royal Oak says Girl Scout cookies. Ben in Roseville says Gator bought two boxes of iced oatmeal cookies. Again, we said Gator surprised us. The iced oatmeal cookies would not surprise me.
Because we mentioned this the other day.
Yes.
Bag of them in about 2 days.
Bo and Avan said the banana bread Pop-Tarts.
Did buy a couple boxes of those. That was a couple weeks ago.
Whitmer says potatoes.
You did go crazy with the potatoes one time, right?
One time.
What was it, like a whole sack or something?
Yeah,
or?
It was a big, big old.
Yeah,
big,
yeah. They start growing the roots.
Right. He's got to go. He's bad.
You bought it. It was like an impulse buy at a grocery store. And correct me if I'm wrong, you never opened the bag of potatoes.
Let's move on.
Okay. Mike in Southgate, Gator bought baseball cards. Mike in a truck, two boxes of autumn decorations.
No.
From Doug in studio, two boxes of cucumber melon Gatorade. No, it'd be cucumber melon, cucumber water, it's cucumber lime, zero Gatorade.
That's right.
Hockey cards, that's from Jim Smith. Condoms, that's from Bruno in Dearborn. Protein bars, that's from Eric. One of you got it right.
Ish.
Ish? You think it's an ish?
Well, I thought it was an ish. Maybe I misheard.
Maybe you did. Well, we'll eliminate the ones that were obvious. Girl Scout cookies, ice oatmeal cookies, banana bread, Pop-Tarts wouldn't be a surprise. The rest of these are pretty much a surprise. Jim Smith got it right. Hockey cards.
Oh, I thought I heard baseball cards.
He did. Somebody else said baseball cards. Mike in Southgate said baseball cards. Jim Smith said hockey cards. Hell of a guess, Jim. But You did what?
I saw a tweet that came out that Upper Deck was getting ready to release their Series 2 box of hockey cards, and they were going to include Macklin Celebrini and Matvei Michkov as part of it. And I know that those are really good hockey players, obviously. I'm a hockey fan. So I thought maybe this would be a worthy investment. Okay. So I went over out to Clawson. And I'm drawing a blank on this. What's the name of the store, Kang?
Luton's.
Luton's. So I walked into Luton's, bought a couple boxes.
How many how many cards come in a box, or how many packs?
There are 12 packs in each box.
Okay. And yep. How many cards in each pack?
9, 10, something like that. Okay. 9 cards.
So you roughly bought 250 cards.
Yeah.
Okay. 240, sure. 250
cards. You do the math for me, sure.
Yeah. Okay, and?
And I did not land a Celebrini or Michkov.
No?
No. No, I didn't land many good cards, actually.
They're about as valuable as those potatoes at this point.
Yeah. I did get a Marco Kasper card. I think it's a rookie card for Kasper.
Hooray!
You know, he only played the one game last year, so I'm guessing this is a rookie card for him this year.
Yeah.
There were a couple others that were okay. There's one card that has teammates. It's with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith as teammates. Mm-hmm. Because the Celebrini is on a card, I imagine that might be worth something. And congratulations to Macklin Celebrini for his first ever career hat trick last night. But otherwise, no. I hadn't bought a box of hockey cards in close to 30 years. It was something I got into in college when Upper Deck first came out with their first series of hockey cards, which was 1990. And I went a little overboard. I'll admit it. I bought many boxes back then, and then they came out with a second series when the second half of the season starts, and you start to see who some of the star players are that weren't involved in the first series back then. So you had players like Sergei Fedorov, his card became available. And then the next year, Nick Lidstrom was a rookie, and I started buying boxes of those cards, and I had Jeremy Roenick rookies. I bought a lot of cards between those 2 years, 90 and 91.
So,
and then probably hadn't bought a box since.
It's very interesting to me because I didn't see this tweet, but you got compelled by a tweet.
Yeah.
And decided to get aggressive. Now my question is, are you in? Are you going to get more boxes to try and get the cards that you desire?
No.
No.
No, I think I'm out. That was a pretty big investment to make on the two boxes. And I don't know if that one card, if you get a Celebrini rookie, I'm not sure if that's going to be worth it.
At this point, yeah, you were better off buying the card at this point. That card sells raw, that Young Guns card you're looking for, anywhere from between $125 to $150.
That would have been a better investment.
Just to go buy the card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could have got something even cooler.
But I could have gotten two. Yeah. I could have gotten that and the Mitch Goffrick.
A numbered version.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anything. So, I mean,
there was a fun factor here.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Kang and I actually yesterday, I opened up the one box a couple days ago when I got home.
Kang, who hosts the Kang Collects podcast.
Download for free on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcast.
Yes. AUDACY. So I bought two boxes and I came home and I opened up the one box on Tuesday. And I saved the other box for yesterday. Brought it into the station because I told Kang I was going to bring it in. And I said, we'll open it up after the show during the Tigers game. And as I said, Kang, whenever you're ready. He goes, okay. And he comes over and he starts setting up. He starts setting up his video, ready to go.
Oh, in case you pull the card, you like.
Yeah. So.
What's this called, a break?
Yeah, we did a personal box break for Gator.
Did you stream it live?
I didn't stream it live, but I taped it for YouTube. It's on YouTube if you want to check it out, under Kang Collects.
So we both opened up a bunch of packs, and we got nothing out of it.
Nothing?
Other than it was a lot of fun. There's a little bit of an adrenaline rush, hoping you've got it. And Kang at one point opens up a pack, and he starts going through the cards, and there's a San Jose Sharks player. And it looks like it's a different kind of card. Like, ooh. But it's not Celebrini, and it wasn't Will Smith. I forget who it was, but it was neither. So is that adrenaline rush? Like, oh, there it is! No, didn't get it. Didn't get it.
I'm found the YouTube page, and I'm scanning my way through this.
But I remember going through the same thing in This is great.
We did that right out here, Doug, right in the office.
In 1991, was the 1991 season, and my junior year in college, I remember going through a box of Score hockey cards, because Score was the only company, they were the first company to have a deal with Eric Lindros, and Lindros hadn't been drafted yet. So I kept waiting for those cards to come out. Finally, I found a place where they were. I went out and bought a box of those, and I'm hoping to get. You know, you're hoping to land a couple of these, right? I landed one Eric Lindros card in the box, but it was worth it at the time. Now I don't think it's worth much at all.
Yeah,
but at the time it was great, and that's the fun of opening boxes, is trying to see if you're going to land multiple cards, right? Going to shows is different, because going to shows, you're like specific for a certain card. And that might be the next step. I might go to a show in the summertime.
Wow, look at you.
Well, I miss them. It was a big part of my life. In the early 80s, it was a big part of my life. I used to go to shows every year, a couple shows a year. I used to look for it, and I couldn't wait for the newspaper to come out. I think it was on Saturdays. They would have all the listings of the card shows. And then it got oversaturated with the number of shows. But yeah, and it got into a little bit in my early 90s, and in the early 90s, not that old. And it's fun. Card collecting is it's
Doug,
cool.
You never got into it at all?
A little bit when I was a kid, yeah. I mean, a very, very little bit. And, you know, just I had a paper route, and the big deal was to walk to the local convenience store, the Open Pantry, and I'd always get baseball cards.
I could see Doug getting into card collecting just so he can try to wheel and deal.
Like, the Karsh Casino version of this?
Can you see Doug employing the Karsh Casino trying to get like a Tony Gwynn rookie card?
I'd like a Tony Gwynn
rookie, see? Like Doug would do, you know.
We gotta do a personal break with Doug.
We'll get the Steve Garvey, you know.
Are you familiar with?
Here's Lenny Webster. And, you know, can we get this done?
We will tweet out the link of Gator opening the box of hockey cards.
Yeah, there's great banter.
Effectively, you're hearing our voices. Effectively, you're just seeing our hands.
We were mic'd up, Doug. You'd appreciate that part.
Kane was very professional.
I love it. Maybe we should do this regularly. We'll see how it does. But it's been tweeted out from our account, at DougAndGator971, if you want to watch the video yourself. Okay, coming up next hour, let's get some more picks in for the Detroit Lions. Who's the perfect pick at 28? It's Carson Anderson, 1.0. They are coming in, the votes, fast and furious. The edge rushers, the group is Donovan Azaraku, Mykal Williams, James Pierce, Nick Scorton, Shamar Stewart, and JT2Umoalau. The interior offensive linemen, Gray Zabel, Tyler Booker, Donovan Jackson. The defensive tackles, Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, and Walter Nolan. The tight ends, Gunnar Helm, Terrence Ferguson. The wide receivers, Emeka Buka and Luther Burden. And the safety, Nick Emanuare. Who is the player that you would covet the most at 28? If you want to go off the board, go for it. We've got the veto of all the guys that will obviously go higher. 248-539-9797, last hour to do it, and we'll tell you who the People's Choice is coming up today at 1:50, the conclusion of Carson Anderson Mock 1.0. Straight ahead, an announcement expected in the next month, and we will talk about what we're looking forward to at 102 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.